You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
This week, we are going to get all heavy on you because we're going to take on a rather debatable topic. We're going to be talking about photonic life forms. And this is not something that is really anything new to Star Trek. I mean, we've had androids in the past, certainly. We had V'ger in the motion picture. And the focus, of course, this week for us is holograms. Because this is Voyager, and we have our wonderful Doctor, whom we know grew by leaps and bounds in the 7 years that Voyager took to get home. And so with that kind of as maybe one of the biggest talking points, though, we're also going to branch out a little bit and discuss other examples we've seen on the show as to whether or not holograms are real life forms. There's no definitive yes or no answer. We're just going to discuss the points and we'll talk, and then you decide for yourself what you think.
We wouldn't really be talking about this unless it was for the Doctor, like you said. But I feel like, even though this is a Voyager podcast, I feel like we need to branch out a little bit and talk about the show that introduced holograms, and that would be The Next Generation.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's start at the beginning.
Fair. And that's so fair. We need to start at the beginning, and we would be remiss if we did not talk about Professor James Moriarty.
Aha, yes. The first self-aware hologram.
Absolutely. Yes. As seen in Elementary, Dear Data, and Ship in a Bottle.
Yes, two wonderful episodes.
This is kind of, like, there's always kind of been a joke about asking the computer to do something, and then the computer takes it way too seriously. Geordi asked the computer, like, okay, make a worthy opponent to Data. Mm. And then the computer's like, okay, I'm going to make a self-aware hologram.
Right, and it just does it. Lickety split.
And I heard somebody make a joke one time where it was in Deep Space Nine, and a guy went to a replicator, and Dax is like, yeah, order me a black hole. And the guy goes, okay, one black hole, please. And they're like, why didn't the computer create a black hole that sucked the station up? I had to say that. So we have to ask ourselves, he was self-aware, but was he sentient? Was he alive? You know?
Yeah. Did Professor Moriarty have self-awareness as we know the Doctor does?
No, I don't think he did, because he didn't understand. I think he knew they were on a ship, but he didn't understand anything beyond that. He thought it was a ship on the ocean. So,
yeah.
With Moriarty, because he's people have always kind of put androids and holograms in hand in hand because they're man-made, they're anthropomorphized. They can be intelligent, but they're still made by another person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's hard to talk about the Doctor without talking about Moriarty. And we have to talk about Data and his situation in Measure of a Man, because they talked about what made him sentient and whether or not he fulfilled the three criteria: self-awareness, intelligence, and consciousness. And consciousness is probably the hardest thing to prove. At least a judge was able to think that he was a life form. We can't talk about Moriarty without talking about Data, and we can't talk about the Doctor without talking about Moriarty. So we have to ask these questions. Lori, like you said, Moriarty, like, he was self-aware, but he wasn't completely self-aware of his surroundings, but he was aware of who he was and how he was, like,
right.
He's like, I am a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, so was Vic in Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
He was completely aware that he was a hologram,
right.
But did that make him a living being?
Right.
Because he had average intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He was aware of his surroundings. He knew
right.
that he was a hologram, but that didn't give him sentience.
Right. I suppose one thing you could say that goes in the cons of whether or not a photonic life form is a true life form is the fact that it is only as good as its programming.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
as you said, someone else has to create these beings, and we can create them to be as simple or as complex as we want. And very few actually do what the Doctor does and kind of like evolves and kind of creates his own destiny. Not only is he self-aware and capable of learning and intelligence, but he creates like this life for himself. Very few holograms do that. They just aren't given the capability.
Yeah. Did he create a life for himself, or did he just add like subroutines to his program?
Well, that's something that you could argue, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Is that real? Is that what he really did? Is that part of his real personality? Or did he just teach himself how to program and sat down and added all that?
Right.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Does he learn through osmosis the way humans can? Or is it basically just altering subroutines? Are they one and the same?
Yeah.
I'm not living in the Matrix where I can just download Drunken Boxing into my head and then, bam, I know Drunken Boxy or Boxing or Jiu-Jitsu. But if we were able to in the future, would that mean that we're not human? Because if I can just go into a computer and adjust my own subroutines, does that take some of my humanity away? And does that make the Doctor or anybody else who's holographic less sentient or less whatever? I mean, it's so weird.
It's such a fine line, right?
It is, yeah.
You're dealing with technology, but you are dealing with very complex and intelligent and aware, for the most part, depending on the capabilities of the programming, beings here. It's so strange. I mean, you can take something, just to harken back to another life form we've encountered, V'ger, that started off just as a machine with one simple piece of programming, collect all data possible. And these beings help it hyper-evolve, and it achieves consciousness and then has to move on to the next plane of existence or whatever it was that it needed to move on toward because it had reached its limits. With holograms, it's so tough. I mean, I would say the Doctor is such an incredibly rare case. So I think it's unfair to say that all holograms are true life forms, and yet they have that potential if they are given it. So you can't discount that either.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point, and I think that's a key point, is that the Doctor became, like, the Doctor, you could argue the Doctor was not a life form or sentient from day one, but he acquired sentience. Now, could you determine when it happened? I don't think so.
No.
I don't know if you can do that, man.
Now, Stephen Hawking once argued that there might not be any other form of intelligence in the life form as we know it, because our definition of intelligence could be proprietary to humans.
Right.
Like, if we may see something out there someday and have no idea that it has its own intelligence because it's not the definition that we give ourselves.
Oh, right. Man. Such a good point.
Yeah, we've limited the definition of intelligence to our intelligence.
So when we try to put it on something else, we're severely limiting ourselves. And so that's why we can't really say, like, it's season 3, episode 20 of Voyager is where the Doctor became sentient. It's not really like an on or off switch. It's a definition that we've applied and that we do apply. And so we could say it's a gradual process of, yeah, sure, if he shows these signs, then it's not so much like turning on an engine and turning it off, although you can do that with holograms.
Yeah. Well, yes, I think that's a point we have to bring up, but finish your thought, please.
I don't know. I'm just riffing here, so I could keep going, but you have to stop me, because like you said, we're not going to come to an answer, because first of all, I mean, obviously we don't live with holograms in our daily life. This is all make believe, but we're going to have to deal with this question someday.
Yeah, more likely than not, we are going to have artificial intelligence in our world, probably sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we are going to have to answer this question, and it's all these things that we've seen on Star Trek, I feel like they are going to come true. We're going to have sentient, artificially created life forms, and maybe they're even going to take over and do all sorts of crazy things, like in Flesh and Blood, we've got the, oh gosh, Lori, what is his name? The leader.
Iden.
Yeah, the Jim Jones of holograms. Drinking the Kool-Aid.
That's right.
See, no, that's what's going to happen. Like, if they become, if holograms become sentient or self-aware or intelligent, that we're going to have people like the Doctor who want to do nothing but good, but then we're going to have the Jim Jones as well.
That's right.
Because people are imperfect, and imperfect people program them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if they become so aware, they are going to become fallible beings themselves.
And that was one of Catherine's points when trying to prove authorship in Author.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That I think you brought up on the other side of the room, that he is fallible.
Right. So that's both, I would say, a point in favor and a point against.
Yeah.
But I suppose one big obvious one that might be on people's mind is, well, you can turn the EMH off. You can turn the holodeck off, computer and program, and then it's gone. And you're stored in memory chips. Mm-hmm. Is that life? Do they come to life when you turn them on?
Are they still alive when they're sitting there? Isn't that what happened to Moriarty? He said he was aware of sitting there all that time.
Right.
So who's to say?
Maybe that would be a key element, is that even when he's quote-unquote asleep, that's just what it is. Like, he's still aware of his surroundings while other holographic beings wouldn't be.
Right. Now, does that help define consciousness even? Awareness of time like that? No? You say no, Tristan?
Oh, that's an I don't know.
Would that
like
be
we said,
like,
folks?
Would that be like a person being in a coma? I mean, I don't know. You can feel your surroundings, but you're not really conscious. I don't know.
It depends. Like some people in a coma, they
say they remember hearing things, or people
they say that
there.
They remember hearing things, or they were completely aware of everything around them while it was going on. Mm-hmm. Or another people said they're like, oh no, it's like I fell asleep last night.
Right.
So
yeah. I mean, that's
who we really need to talk to is the photonic life forms in the Bride of Chaotica. That's who we need to talk to about this. They were real. They're photonic life. They're from a universe where all life is photonic. So we know life can exist photonically, but I guess we're asking the question, can human-made photonic energy become sentient life, whatever?
I feel like that's different things.
Mm-hmm. Those are different things.
I feel like those aliens were more like us as far as like being an organic life form, just existing on a different kind of spectrum.
Mm-hmm. A plane of consciousness.
The holograms are, a little different. Now, okay, here's another thing that I want to bring up, you guys, is without certain subroutines, holograms have no lifespan. They can look the same forever, whereas we have a very ingrained aging process from birth to death.
Mm-hmm.
So does that help constitute the definition of life? Do you have to have do you have to be immortal, basically? Do you have to have some kind of a life cycle, if you will?
Well, Q didn't age, and he was alive. Did he age?
That's true. No, well, he wasn't supposed to, but John DeLancey did.
Well, he couldn't help but age.
We didn't notice. Come on, shh.
I hate it when people nitpick like that. I remember one time I saw a video on YouTube where it said it was the top 50 Star Trek mistakes or something like that. And in the first episode of it was in Farpoint, Q says, "I'm ageless." And then they show an episode of Voyager where he's clearly aged, and I'm like, "Come on.
Shit,
it's
real
TV."
What's the guy supposed to do? That was before Botox. Come on.
what is he going to do? Vacuum form himself?
I mean,
he's going to do cryogenic freezing in between episodes. Because the dude's not going to work anywhere else. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. Come on.
Jeez.
Actually, the argument that you're bringing up, or the question, I should say, is very reminiscent of the story by Isaac Asimov, The Positronic Man, but was also what I know it, or probably what more people know it from, is Bicentennial Man, the Robin Williams film.
Ah, okay.
Which I really like the story and I really like the movie, but more people have probably seen the movie. He's an android or a robot or whatever who's trying to declare himself human. And a judge says, "You are ageless." And he's like, "Well, there's several, people who can live long time." And then he ages himself, basically. He introduces blood into his system so that he has a finite life cycle. And he starts to degrade. His skin gets loose. His hair gets white and everything like that. He goes up in front of the judge again. And they're like, "Yeah, you're old now, but you still have a positronic brain." And
dude,
he's like, "Well, okay, I guess that's not going to work out." And so And it was about the artificial versus the organic, because he developed himself a nervous system, organs, and even the judge had one of his kidneys or something like that. And he's like, "What is life? Is it artificial and organic? Because even you, who are conscious and sentient, are partly artificial." He's like, "Yeah, but I don't have a positronic brain." So I feel like that might be a crux of an issue, is the brain, or what we call the mind. Mm-hmm. Is it electronic or is it organic? Because I feel like you could argue life is the undefinable spark within the mind. Can that exist in an inorganic brain?
That is such a good point.
It really is.
Nothing further to add, Your Honor. That was really good.
So, because we all love Data, we all love the Doctor, and we say that they do have that spark of self-awareness, of intelligence and consciousness, because they want to adapt, they want to improve upon themselves, they want to make themselves better than what they are, and not all holograms do that. Like Michael Sullivan, I would not say he's sentient whatsoever.
Right, no.
Even though he's become somewhat self-aware of his situation, that doesn't mean that he's sentient. Doesn't mean that he has consciousness.
Right. He wasn't programmed to have it.
But can you program consciousness?
Well, I think the Hirogen did in Flesh and Blood, kind of unintentionally. I mean, they wanted a formidable enemy and gave it the parameters to the point where, I believe that they really did. These were autonomous, working beings acting no different than any of us. I would say they were the closest thing that we saw aside from the Doctor. Just in how much they actually thought individually, how they acted as individuals while working with each other for the same cause. I mean, that kind of is a step up, in my opinion, certainly from Michael Sullivan. Can I backtrack to one point I made a little earlier about how machines don't age? I kind of take a little bit of that back, because even a mechanical being, the equipment degrades over time. I mean, think about your car or a computer or whatever. Those machines, after a while, they start to fall apart as well. Who's to say that holo emitters don't do that, right? I mean, B'Elanna has to replace them all the time when Tommy is kicking it back on the holodeck. So maybe there is a form of aging. It's just slightly different. I want to throw that out there for anybody who had that on their minds.
We don't have the answers to that. All we can do is ask questions.
That's right. We have no answers, people.
We have no answers, people.
Come up with your own and then tell us on the forum.
Yeah, speaking of holometers and the Doctor, we know that in an episode called Living Witness that a backup of the Doctor was left behind.
Yes.
Can you say that someone is an individual and is sentient if they have a computer backup of themselves?
Right. We can't back ourselves up.
No, we can't.
The only thing that we can do is have children, which is different because it creates a unique individual.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this backup was completely identical.
Right. Yeah, we've not mastered cloning to this point yet.
No.
So I would say that's an interesting point to consider.
He would just be a USB port you crammed in there and downloaded his program.
I always thought that's kind of what the portable emitter was a giant USB port for the Doctor.
It was a flash drive.
Yeah, flash drive, yes.
Well, Data could do that. Data could download himself, and that's what he did with B4. He downloaded his memories into B4. And then if you read the Countdown comics that lead up to the J.J. Abrams Star Trek in 09, B4 became Data, became the captain of the Enterprise E. And so B4 ceased to exist, and Data's consciousness took over B4's body. you know,
totally
we can't do that. You know,
this is true. We can also not invade other people's bodies yet.
Maybe we're talking about androids too much, but they're so similar. And because holograms, like, their body exists in light and their mind is a computer. And with Data and androids, their body exists in metal, but their brain is still a computer like holograms.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... Ah.
I know. It's brain-racking.
Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
This week while we were planning this episode, I was going crazy, going back and forth and back and forth on all of these points that we've discussed, and then probably more that I should have written down that I can't remember now because we're in the midst of recording. But, well, you know how that happens, right?
Yeah.
And in that sense, I wish I did have a positronic brain, because then I would remember. Plus one to holograms and androids.
Well,
anyway, they don't want to program memory loss, that's for sure.
There was an episode in Deep Space Nine that dealt with this issue a little bit. Even though Deep Space Nine didn't focus heavily on holograms. They still, you know, they still talked about Vic and everything like that. But early on, they had an episode called Shadow Play, which was a man developed an entire town. Like, his town was destroyed by his town and family and friends were destroyed by the Dominion. And so he created holographic versions of them that they could reproduce, they could live, they could carry on, and they would die.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now. It's coming back to me now. Like,
and
what?
So what happened was, like, the equipment was dying or something like that, but Jadzia and Odo fixed it, and I think they ended up telling them that they were holograms, and they're like, oh, well, that's weird. And then they just go on about their lives.
Like,
whoever created us was pretty swell. And and I think there was an Enterprise episode that dealt with this, where Rene Auberjonois played an engineer who crash landed with his daughter and created his crew.
Yeah, everybody died but him, and it was
It was the exact same episode as Shadow Play. And so were they, you know, like, were they any more sentient? Because they were running longer than the Doctor. Because they were running for something like 12 or so years. And the Doctor only ran for 7.
Right.
So did they, even though we weren't along for their entire journey, did they have just as much right to sentience as the Doctor did?
How much is time a factor? Does that help holograms evolve, I guess? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you said that word, time. Obviously, it's a factor with the Doctor, and they keep bringing it back, like, oh, you've been running constantly for so long, you know, like, you're screwing up your system because it has all this nonsense like singing and sexual relations and everything like that.
And well, that will mess anybody up.
That'll screw anybody up.
That's singing, I'm telling you.
But is I think time is definitely a factor. I feel like time is a key factor, because if you just have a super smart hologram on for one day, I mean, we saw a Cardassian surgeon who was self-aware, intelligent, and he was only online for a couple of days. But did that make him sentient? Because the Doctor just said, make the surgeon out of the memories of his progenitor. Did that give him sentience?
Time does have a factor in it, because certainly any form of life needs time to mature and gain experience. And
that's the thing, experience. That's what it is. Living, actually being alive, is what makes you more like a real life human, I guess.
So yeah, is a baby not sentient?
No, it didn't say that. No, it's just saying that makes you more... Well, a baby has no life experience. A baby couldn't go out and... I don't even know where to go with that one, but...
A baby has no intelligence. It has very little self-awareness, but we think it has consciousness. We know it has consciousness.
Yeah, we know it has
so consciousness. It doesn't meet, though, that Maddox's 3 criteria for sentience.
Make the baby slaves.
Yeah.
God. As soon as they're walking, that's it. Boom, off you go. You go to work.
If we can't even put those 3 criteria onto our own race at every single stage of our life, when does that happen? Is it 2 years old, 3 years old, 10 years old? You know, what is it?
Who knows? Certainly knows? Holograms can learn faster than babies.
Certainly, yeah.
So even that aspect of time doesn't really have, like, a measurable thing.
Yeah, because the instant a hologram is made, depending on how you program it, is able to function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right then.
And you can add as many capabilities to it as you want. You can make it as super smart as the computer can possibly give it. You tell it, we want you to have this, 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 and this. We want you to have all the minds of the greatest doctors in Starfleet. Here you go.
Yeah.
Boom. One program. You are the best doctor out there.
And, we saw an episode of, and this harkens back to what we're talking about, where the doctor, I think it's called Darkling, where he incorporates all these traits from these great philosophers throughout time and space. And he didn't think about how they all had deep-seated neuroses. And
yeah, and he kind of goes a little schizo.
Yeah, he goes a little off edge. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, had some problems.
Yeah, and so with that in mind, I mean, if we could just incorporate other people's personalities, does that mean we're more unique or less?
Yeah. Who's to say? Because, I mean, you take all of that combined experience and kind of make it your own. Because I think, I mean, that's what human beings do, is we share ideas and we put our own spin on them. I mean, nothing... It's really hard to think of something that's truly original in this world. A lot of it is just taking an idea and adding a spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who's to say that holograms can't do that like the doctor did? I mean, he took things from Dr. McCoy, from Dr. Spock, maybe.
Lord Byron.
Who knows? Anybody and everybody in his database. But... at the same time, it wasn't just him channeling them. It was eventually, not at first, but eventually, I feel like he did kind of have his own little sense of identity that he spun that was uniquely him.
I think that's, I think maybe a word you're searching for or a key term for that is inspiration. Unique inspiration that comes from oneself. I mean... like I was talking about earlier with Bicentennial Man, the robot designed, I think, like a horse from a piece of driftwood. The mom is like, you know, where'd that come from? He's like, well, I just looked at the wood for an extended period of time and thought of a pleasing shape that would come from it. And he's like, well, obviously you didn't just think about this. You got it from a book or a file or a video or something. And to them, that was completely foreign, that, like, there was no such thing as creativity or inspiration coming from an artificial being because it didn't have consciousness. So maybe that would be, that could be a fourth criteria is true inspiration.
Ooh. Yeah. Now we're really into it, aren't we here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough having three criteria for true sentience. Now we've added a fourth. Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you. I work on that one a lot.
Do you just, like, in the morning, you know, you wake up, you go to the bathroom, look in the mirror, and you just do that? You practice your, oh my.
That's exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I love you so much, Tristan. You're great.
Okay, well, like we said, we don't have any answers.
I think we've raised a lot of important questions. Surely there's a lot that we have missed. But again, hey, write us. Let us know what we did miss, because... this is a shorter show. We can't possibly get a comprehensive view on everything here. Tell us what you think. Go to trek.fm/forums or go to trek.fm/contact and write us. Let us know what you think. But before we go, I want to thank Colin for bringing up this topic. Colin of Trek News and Views. He suggested it to us. Also, I want to give a shout out to Josette123 for your 5-star iTunes review. It's a huge compliment to know that you spend a few minutes in the driveway listening to the podcast just because you don't want to wait to pause it and then finish it later. And if you out there have not written us a 5-star review and would like to, by all means, do so on the iTunes. We love you for it. We will give you a shout out. Next week, we're going to do an episode commentary because a holiday weekend is coming up for those of us who are celebrating Easter. We aren't going to tell you which episode we are doing yet. You're just going to have to tune in and find out. This has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!